May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
River or creek. The well is the fiscal agent for this fundraiser, this benefit to these incredible women that are collaborating.
There's a raffle! Please do buy some raffle tickets! And there's a donation station. Please make donations. Mm-hmm. There's an interactive altar area, so there's places where you can just kneel down and make your offerings and say your prayers. And of course, we're going to have stories and music and all kinds of speakers and poets and things like that happening all afternoon.
About 100 men, women, and playful children gathered under the Central Ramada at Chimicum's H.J. Carroll Park on a rainy and blustery afternoon in early May to celebrate an event aimed at raising money for reparations not only to the Chimicum, a local tribe incorrectly dismissed as extinct, but also to an African-American family. The trigger had been a decision by black woman Chastity Sod Griffin's Seattle-based landlord to sell the triple-wide mobile home she and her family had been living in for more than a decade, along with the surrounding 10 acres of forested land that features springs considered sacred to the Chimicum people. In a curious confluence of coincidences, the crisis caught the attention of Nala Walla, the offspring of refugee Polish Jewish parents and a somewhat messianic figure in her own right, a self-considered prophet of sacred water who had created a private nonprofit foundation called the Well Wisdom School. Nala Walla decided to dedicate the aegis of her foundation to helping Chastity save her home and to Chimicum descendant Naomi Cranky's dream of building back the longhouses of her ancestors. The event kicked off with a series of short speeches of thanks and devotion. Naomi Cranky spoke first.
I just want to thank everyone for being here and helping one of my dreams come true. For a very long time, I've wanted a longhouse in specifically Chimicum territory, as I'm a Chimicum descendant. And I want it to be a community gathering place and an educational place for people to come and learn and share, and I'm so glad that I found a spot at Chastity's land, and I really feel that that is the wind, the ancestors are coming in. I really feel that their presence there, so I'm really thankful and hopeful that I have this opportunity to be on traditional lands. And for Chastity to offer that to me and my people and everybody in the community for making it happen. So.
I'm Chastity. Thank you guys all for being here. Thanks for all of the, and for all your love and support. The Springs is our home. It's where we've lived for 11 years. So to be able to stay put is a really big deal for us. And it's also our sanctuary, our ashram, is a very special spiritual place. And this is the only thing that makes sense to be doing, to collaborating with Naomi and making sure that that land goes back to its original owners and that the springs that are there go back to the original owners. So it's the only right thing to do. And I feel very fortunate that we're living in a time when people recognize that, like, en masse, and are stepping forward to support that. And I just feel really thankful to be in this community and around all of you people who care about this. This is all of our project, and it just brings a lot of beauty to my heart that all of us care about this so much. So thank you for being here. And this is to be a blessing for us all. This is to be a big ceremony today. So please allow yourself to have some quiet moment and go into the altar space and just allow yourself to be blessed by the music and the storytelling and whatever the ancestors have in store for us today. We're gonna have an opening prayer by our honored elder here, Ahatnia. It's Naomi's auntie.
My name is Yvette Two Rabbits. My family is from the nation of Haida Gwaii. My mother is Ruth Hartsock Edenshaw. My grandmother is Daisy Edenshaw. And my great-great-grandmother is Mirabelle. I come to you today. I was invited here from the Chimicum Nation, which was originally their hunting grounds and their territory here, from what I understand. And I'm here to offer a blessing to the people that are gathered here, to the grounds, for the restoration of the Chimicum Nation and the Longhouse, which has not had a good Longhouse on its grounds in close to 100 years. And it's important to restore the history. Whether you're native or not, if you live here, this is part of your history. If you stand on our ground, this is part of who you are also. We are all one, whether we're tribal or not. If you believe in the native way and you believe in the earth, this is where you need to be, sustaining and promoting the cultures, which is the history of us all. We are also here today to honor nearly 1 million missing and murdered Indigenous young women, adult women, and children that have yet to be found, whether they're here or in the other side. We need to find these people. It's not on the news, it's not in the papers, but it is happening and it is true. And we're here to send blessings for that also. Great-grandfather of all, the Creator, the universal power that abides within us all and swirls around us, please give your energy and your care and your love to what these people are doing today to restore our history and to restore the life and the energy of the people. I say these things in your great name, Oho, all my relations. I've been asked to sing the Chief Dan George prayer song. Chief Dan George was a Selk, and he was a member of one of the upper tribes. He gave this song to all the Salish people, and that's how we were able to sing it today. It's all-encompassing prayer song.
And that's how things will happen. Community prayer changes the world. So, yes.
Prayer energy is real. Yeah, don't ever forget that.
So good to see everyone. Thank you all so much for coming out.
My name is Nala Walla, and I come representing The Well, which is sponsoring this amazing project. And I think we all can agree that it's way bigger than even Chastity and Naomi, that this is the spirit of the waters that is uniting all of us, that is uniting, to be cleansed, to be purified, to send out a prayer that the water become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, and that the lands become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And that is uniting all of us. The way that the water has come into me through visiting the springs over and over again, where Chasity is stewarding, and where native Chimicum people have been coming for thousands and thousands, maybe even tens of thousands, we don't even know how long, basically forever. Coming to those springs and having that inspiration of the water come into me, somehow, miraculously, I'm standing here because there is a welling up of inspiration and beauty. The Chesed Sheben Netzach, which is the day of heart opening to collective liberation. My people are Kabbalah people, we're Hebrew people. And today, when we count the Omer, it is the day where we open our hearts to collective liberation. It's literally the day that is today, and we're all standing here. It's a Chesed, Chesed, that's the heart opening. There is a well inside each one of us, a well springs, just like the springs that we're here to protect. Inside of each one of us is a springs that can never, ever, ever be tainted. That purity runs through all of us in these times of chaos and confusion and incredible corruption. The powers that be, the people who are supposed to be leading us, our leaders, the authority figures, are obviously confused. They don't know what the priorities are. But each of us has a wellspring of purity inside, and we can always access that. That is what the Well Wisdom School, is designed to promote, to protect, so that everyone can find ways of reaching into that wellsprings within all of us. And today, that means we're here to actually protect the well that's inside of us and the well that is here in Chimicum. We are here to protect the waters that flow into the creek. The creek is flowing right behind us here. This land will not be sold to the highest bidder. It will go to the people who we know are going to do right by the land, and that is the people who have been stewarding it for years and the original people of this land. We're going to do this. We are doing this.
Doing it.
It's happening. Yes.
I'm so proud and privileged to be here. I'm here to celebrate over four decades of sharing legends and stories, and I'm sad to say that there's no place for me to go tell story. And when I was approached by this a couple of weeks ago, I go, oh, a longhouse for us to share legends. We all need legends more than ever. We need ears to open. We need a cleansing. We need the newness. We got this new generation of children that need us more than ever.
Dressed in a long traditional robe and basket hat, Indigenous storyteller Harvest Moon took the microphone and regaled the rap crowd with the long tale of how Otter and Killer Whale sought out the help of the Great White Spirit of the North to bring back the water to quench the fires of summer after a long drought. When the storytelling was done, a series of singers, poets, and speakers took turns entertaining listeners while children played nearby and many of the adults prayed at a series of woodland altars featuring bundles of boughs and bowls of spring water. I found an opportunity to take Naomi Krenke aside for a short interview.
So you are Chimicum.
Yes, a Chimicum descendant. So my great-great-grandmother, Tamoy, first husband was Kalash, who is Chimicum. And then also my father's side is Quileute, but they lived at the mouth of Chimicum Creek for a very, very long time. So they're relatives. Some people say they were Chimicum. I haven't found exactly anywhere in history. I just know that they're Quileute. So I know that they're the same language. And So I think that's pretty cool.
So the story that the Chimicum had been...
Massacred. Well, they went through a couple massacres, and then also great sickness when foreigners came.
Oh, with the smallpox.
Yeah. And so our numbers weren't very large, but I know that it was recorded in the late 1800s that in Port Townsend of the 38 longhouses from Point Hudson to Point Wilson, 18 of them were Chimicum, and that was after the massacre. So if there are 18 longhouses, there's definitely Chimicum people living in those longhouses and families. And a lot of them got sent to Skokomish and other tribes, so they were absorbed into other tribes. So I'm sure there are more Chimicum than we know. They just don't know that they're Chimicum. They got absorbed into different tribes. So I'm pretty sure that when Port Townsend did a big kick out of the indigenous people off the beach, they had shipped them by ship to, I think, Skokomish, and then burned the longhouses down, and then passed a law in 1910 that it was illegal for us to rebuild. So we're living in makeshift, like, tent cities at Kai Tai Lagoon and different areas, and still stayed. My great-great-grandmother didn't leave, and my other great-grandmother owned the Tai Saloon at Point Hudson, and she was a blind basket weaver. So a lot of families refused to leave and relocate. And then my great-great-grandfather, Kalash, was murdered when they were young. And she ended up, my great-great-grandmother, married an Englishman and stayed. A lot of, I think, Indigenous women ended up marrying to be able to stay in the area they were and not leave their homelands. So,
so as you were growing up, how alive was the culture and tradition? I mean, did you hear stories like we just heard from this stage, for example? I mean, did you have, like, things
so
from the deep past?
Not very many. So my grandmother died when my mom was a teenager, and my mom remembers some words, not songs, and she really is sad about that because she was young. Some of the words are the same in Quileute. So we know they're Chimicum. My grandmother was speaking Chimicum to her children. And when she passed at a young age, that knowledge was lost. And that's really hard. So I grew up with a little bit, but not enough. My parents were alcoholics for a long time, so I think that we didn't get to grow up, you know, in our culture as much as we would have liked. I mean, my family went salmon fishing and smoked salmon, and, you know, they were doing a lot of the things. My mom's a clam digger. She's dug clams her whole life. Seafood. She does eeling. She does... So my mom has fished for my whole life. We grew up eating clams. My grandfather owned a clam shop and they had 13 kids, and all the kids clammed and shucked clams and sold clams. And so there are a lot of traditional harvesting things that my family kept doing, but not really song and dance, which I would have liked.
But those seems like things that you have learned now. I mean, you participated in the singing here.
Yes.
I noticed. So
I've always been drawn to my culture my whole life. And I've wanted to renew our people again. And I've wanted it for a very long time. And I kept saying, oh, when my children get older, you know, or I kept putting it off. I put it out there a few times to other tribes, you know. I'd like to see, you know, a longhouse or cultural program like that, kind of like a living history museum in our community, so people can come and learn and teach and experience what it was like to live as our ancestors had. And one day I was sitting on the beach with my friend Jess, and she is the founder of JCARF, and she said, why don't you do it? What's stopping you? Put it out there. Do it. You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? And I have, and the community has been awesome, have embraced it. And it's really heartwarming to me that the possibility of a dream I've had for over 20 years is happening. in my lifetime, in my children's lifetime. And as it's been over 100 years, things have been lost. And the Quileute tribe... Hawk, 1 minute, I'm talking. No, please don't go to the bathroom alone. Okay, go ahead. So, one of the things I'm really interested in is not just stewarding the land and having an educational longhouse, but trying to revive our ways again. Quileute tribe has been really great in offering support. They presented our family with language book sets to help revive our language again, because we speak a similar dialect and we're different. We're different than Clallam. We're different than other tribes around us, which is...
That's interesting, because, I mean, there are other tribes that geographically would be closer, right?
Yes. But, yeah. So they're saying that the story was that a great wave had washed us to this side from Quileute. And that's how we came here.
That's one heck of a tsunami right over the Olympics.
Right over the Olympics. So here we are, and I really am thankful for the Quileute tribe for stepping up and saying, hey, sister tribe, we know you're still here, and we still respect you, and we are happy to help with you coming back and reviving your tribe again.
So there are fluent speakers of the Quileute language still?
Yes. One of them has, I can't think of his name, had recently passed. And Johnny Moses actually speaks Chimicum fluently.
Speaks Chimicum?
Yes, the Chimicum dialect. His grandmother was Chimicum.
Wow.
So I did not know that all these years that Johnny Moses was Chimicum until we did a ceremony in Port Townsend this winter. And he told me that his grandmother was Chimicum, and that's how he has the songs he has, and the language was from his grandmother. So,
does he have conversational Chimicum?
Yeah, I think he does have some, and there
are many
tapes.
Does he have anybody to converse with?
Right? I would like to. So I need to look into that some more. I've just been really busy. This is my son, Hawk Winolt. We call him Hawk for short.
Hi, Hawk.
Oh, that's a recording
device. This is a recording device. Would you like to say something for KPTZ?
Banana.
Well, thank you very much. That's profound. So let's talk a little bit about Chimicum Springs and how and when Chimicum Springs entered your consciousness originally.
So as my grandparents and great-grandmother and father all lived at the mouth of Chimicum Creek in Irondale, I've always been drawn to Chimicum Creek.
They actually lived there.
They actually lived there.
In your lifetime?
In my lifetime. My father's, yeah.
So they had been sort of in place for generations.
Though. Yes. Right. Yes. And so I've always been drawn to Irondale and the creek. And Chastity had approached me when she learned that I was Chimicum and said, hey, through a mutual friend, I have this beautiful springs and this creek on my property. I would really love it if you could come and check it out. I feel your ancestors here, and I want you to experience this. And I went out there, and it is just beautiful and magical, and I felt really close
to this
space.
Did you know Chastity already, or did she find you?
I met her through a mutual friend. And when I had met her, she said, I've been looking for a Chimicum person to share this land with. And then I had gone and saw the springs and the property, and it's beautiful. And she approached me when the landowner came to her and told her he was selling. And so she contacted me and said, would you like to do a collaboration and help me save this land? I feel your ancestors would want you here and to do that. And I said, yes. And so here we are today, because she had asked me to join forces and save this beautiful, you know, creek and springs, and to have Indigenous presence there, I think was really important, not just for her, but for the land to have its people back to steward it is really important. So I said yes, and then we started working on making it happen.
So tell me about what is the well, and how did they become involved in this effort?
actually, I believe Nala really helped make this happen and started the website, and it was a collaboration with a bunch of friends and people that I'm not good at technology. So Nala spearheaded that, which is fantastic, and got it going, and she was right on it from the get-go to make everything happen.
Do you at this point have some kind of agreement or understanding with the seller? I mean, is it necessarily going to go your way? Is that, like, in any way assured?
We might have a donor. We've been waiting on them to get back to us for the majority of it. So we're very hopeful. We're waiting on a deal to go through. So it's up in the air, and that's for a good portion of the money. So I think it's going to happen. I think it will work out. The seller has given them until June 21st to come up with $400,000. And he was willing to also make a deal for the first 5 acres, I guess, for $225,000, which is where their home
is. How many acres is it total?
10 acres total. So
so the house and the springs are on that 5 acres?
I think so. I think the first 5 acres does have this the spring on it. And the rest of the land is all wooded, which is really beautiful. It's untouched. So only the first portion of the property has anything done to it. The rest is all just wooded.
Aside from the longhouse work and regaining contact with your roots, I mean, what do you do in life?
So I am an artist, a dreamer, and I've recently wanted to start an indigenous land stewardship where indigenous people would steward their own lands again, kind of like a land trust, but an indigenous-led land trust, which would be off-reservation lands. And I think that's important for indigenous people. So that's my next step. My next project is starting here, but working out to hopefully across the country of, like, starting indigenous-led land trusts where people could enjoy traditional spaces again, where they might not be because they were relocated to a reservation that wasn't picked by them, it was picked by the government. So now they can get their sacred spaces back, you know, and enjoy the land off reservation and preserve it. And that's my goal. That's my next project.
And Chimicum Springs would be within that land trust?
Yes. Yes. So Chimicum Springs, the 5 acres that I would be getting for indigenous people would be some form of land trust that I hope to create.
I see. And would Chastity have ownership of the house?
Yes. We haven't decided how we're splitting the 10 acres. We know we are both taking 5 acres each. She would stay in her home. So I would... And we think we have a spot picked out for the longhouse already. So that's pretty special. And eventually I'd love a longhouse at Irondale Beach area.
For more information, check out the SaveChimicumSprings.org website. With Chimicum descendant Naomi Cranky at H.J. Carroll Park, this is Steve Evans for KPTZ Community Radio News. Thank you.